Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's time for another adventure to the Seattle's mysterious giants, the whales. And today, as our panelists, we have
Nathaniel
and Catherine
and Doris. So stay tuned. Back here in our studio classroom in our advanced program, as we're talking about these mysterious giants, I have certainly learned a lot about them. Although I'm from Seattle and I have seen some kinds of whales, but I didn't know all the different kinds there were. I think it's a very interesting article. What do you think, Nathaniel?
I think it's very interesting, too. Like I said yesterday, I really didn't know very little about fin whales, which are kind of the focus of this article, so I found that very interesting. But the work that people are doing about fin whales is also kind of unique, too.
And we're glad that our editor, Catherine, could be with us. And I think you found this a very interesting article as you were editing it for the magazine.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed editing this one. I've always been interested in the ocean and in whales. And like I said yesterday, I found these creatures fascinating because they don't usually follow the normal pattern of most whales. So it's kind of, they're different, and I like that.
Well, they're talking about the research that these people have done. They're talking about the sound and how fast they go. And if I really would like to know something, what I'd like to find out is, you know, could they ever find out where the whales go? I mean, how far do they go? Do they go to Alaska? Do they go down to Australia? Did the ones that I saw in Australia, did they come from Seattle? I mean, how far do they really travel? Or do they just, you know, wouldn't it be kind of fun to know more about where they really travel and what they do?
I think it would, and I think that is probably exactly what they're trying to find out with these seismic instruments that they keep talking about. Those will help them follow or track the animals.
I think they always try to put some kind of attachment on them so they can see where they go and all. It might be a little hard for these whales.
Right, and yesterday they said that that's not easy to do either, so these seismic instruments that they have might be a better alternative for studying the whales.
It's kind of hard to keep up for them when they're going so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and also I was reading the seismic instruments. It's the least invasive way to track these animals because you don't have to tag them. You don't have to put something on their body. So I think it's also a really good, kinder way of studying them.
Environmental.
I mean, how can they follow them, you know?
Well, with the instruments, it's point by point because the instruments are set up along the ocean floor so they can mark and when they pass the instrument, basically.
How do they know which whale it is?
That I don't know.
See, that would be kind of interesting
to
find out.
Yeah, how do they know those things from just from the sounds? How would they know which whale is which?
Maybe they learn to recognize the different sounds of the different whales.
Well, they have to get the language first so they can say, I'm headed for Australia.
<I'd like laughs>
find out where they're going. See you next year. Well, it's kind of interesting to study. There's a lot to learn about the ocean and in the environment. But one thing is that as men, our job is supposed to be to take care of the environment and not to just kill off all the creatures, which I think is too bad when we don't keep the balance of nature, don't you?
Yes, that's right. We talked about some information about just how many of these whales were killed over a period of time, and the number is really just too big. I never would have imagined that so many whales were being killed every year, and that's something that we really need to be more conscientious about. Think about what's right and wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, and you know, it takes them like 11 months to have. They don't have like fish. Maybe they have fish eggs. There'd be thousands of fish eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think, oh, boy, there's lots of fish. But for whales, if they just have one baby,
one calf,
and it's going to take them 11 months, and you're going to kill those.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every 2 or 3 years they have another baby.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really, you know. Well, in the same way with the turtles, and they catch all the turtles and things. I've read that if there's maybe 10,000 turtles that get born, that only just a very few of those escape because they kill them.
Mm.
You know, the fish eat them, and the fishermen catch the turtles and have turtle soup out of them. And so, you know, it's very hard to keep some of these beautiful creatures in the ocean.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important to be more humane and to realize, you know, the things that we put into the ocean can damage the creatures there. Yeah, I think that's really bad.
Right.
Hunting.
Well, you know, they only actually produce calves about every couple of years. You have another one. So can you imagine if you kill that many, why there's not going to be any left, right?
Mm-hmm. It's too hard for them to regenerate their population.
So that's true,
it takes
right?
too long compared to how quickly they're being killed.
But we're talking about the sounds and things that they make and other things about them. So let's find out more about them as we continue today on page 38. Now, we talked about the fact that they actually do use these seismic instruments. But now, what about the patterns? What did they find out? So let's read about that as we read the first column on page 38.
Notable patterns. Using a computer program of his own design, Soule was able to tease out the paths followed by 154 individual whales or groups. The conventional wisdom holds that only males sing, with the goal of attracting females. But even that isn't known for sure, Kalambakadis said. Soule's data revealed two distinct types of calls, one slightly higher pitched than the other. Most of the animals he tracked were moving south in the winter and early spring, as expected. Some seemed to travel solo, while others moved in pairs or clusters. Why some animals opted to head in the opposite direction is an open question, Soule said. One suggestion is that they might be bachelor males, with no incentive to visit the breeding grounds. But that's just a guess, he cautioned.
So notable patterns would be the things that we have noticed about them so far.
That's right. And we see in our first sentence in this section, using a computer program of his own design, Soule was able to tease out the paths followed by 154 individual whales or groups. Now, in this sentence, the phrase tease out was a little strange to me.
Yes. I think what he's saying here is that it took him a while, but he was able to finally pick out a pattern. The pattern wasn't immediately clear. It took some...
To drag it out.
Yes, thank you. So mm-hmm. he had to really work to find it and drag it out from all the chaos, I think.
Well, 154 individual whales or groups. Mm-hmm. He really did his homework, didn't he?
Yeah, he's tracking or he's following a lot of them with this program. Mm-hmm.
So for conventional wisdom, they say the things that we think or that we know, we feel, is they say that probably only the males sing. But they're not even sure of that.
Right.
That's true. That's probably just a conclusion maybe they're drawing from the rest of nature. I mean, usually in nature, like, for example, a peacock, the male peacock is always more beautiful because he wants to attract the females.
Right.
So a lot of times the males work to attract the females' attention.
Good bass singers attract them every time. Look at Elvis Presley, what he did. Right.
There you go.
That yeah. is true. There yeah. is a male attracting female mm-hmm. attention.
But even that is not known for sure, they said, so... That's one thing. But this guy that sold, that did this, Dax Soule, what strange names. I never knew anybody named Dax Soule when I went to school. Did you know anybody with names like this?
No,
I
didn't.
These are pretty strange names, aren't they? Maybe people who do research have strange names. Who knows? Very unique names, aren't they?
Yes.
Right. But he revealed two types of very definite or distinct types of calls. So they did have different calls.
Right, and one is slightly higher pitched than the other.
Maybe that's the females.
Maybe it is. Maybe if they're like humans, often the women sound like they're higher than the males, but they think they also don't know that for sure either.
That's true.
Yeah, I find this article really funny because it seems as though the researchers, they put out a little bit of information. Well, they do this, but we don't know why. Mm-hmm. They won't say yes for sure about anything.
Well, that's true. And then they did say that they often go north in the summer instead of going south, mm-hmm. I mean, in the winter.
Yeah, well, I was actually...
But they do both, I guess.
They do. I found this map online. I meant to say it yesterday, but they did tag some of these fin whales a long time ago, and they drew a path along the west coast of the United States of all these whales that had moved up and down, and they were just north-south, out to the west. Yeah. Like, they were just – it's random. It's really hard to
individualist.
Find.
They all want to go different places.
I know, and that's pretty cool.
Maybe they tell each other by the boom, boom sounds. Who knows? Who knows?
I know.
That's really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it says some seem to travel solo. When you say solo, it just means duchang, sing by yourself. They want to go by themselves. Some go alone. Can you imagine out there in that great big ocean, you're just going to head off by yourself? Kind of a rebellious type, I bet you, right? But the other ones say, hey, I want to go together in a group. Mm-hmm. It's like when we travel.
Yeah.
Some people travel alone. Some go with a friend. Some go on tourist travel groups.
Right.
Tours. They probably have whale tours.
Maybe. Yeah, I was reading that if they're in clusters or groups, they're usually in groups of about 6 to 10 different whales. So it kind of
varies. Look out. Don't head towards Japan. You get in trouble over there. Because they really love to get those whales, you know.
That's true.
But some animals opted or picked or chose, they head in opposite direction, and they don't know why. That's kind of a question. They haven't figured that out because we don't know the language yet. We can't hear the sound, right?
Maybe that's it. But maybe that just also shows that these animals can really adapt to any type of situation, no matter the resources or the food that they have available to them or the temperature of the water. It sounds like everything seems to work for the whale, for these whales.
And when you're as big and as fast as these guys are, you can probably kind of do what you want.
I guess so, yeah, right.
True.
Well, like you were saying, Catherine, that, you know, we say, well, they might be like bats or males, and they don't have any reason or incentive to visit the breeding grounds where maybe they're the males. They don't have to, you know, go to have the babies. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But see, it's all guessing. They just throw out this, and we can guess anything, so don't say that's true because we don't know.
Mm-hmm. I know. There's no limitations. It's kind of, you can guess whatever you want about these animals, but it's going to take a really long time to figure out the real reason.
But we do have to protect them, and there are so many fatal encounters that we're going to find out about what happens to them when they travel. It's not really safe for them out in the world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But let's read on, and let's read the second column first.
The vocal few. Seismometers only detect the loudmouths, which is one of the technique's shortcomings. That's why it would be ideal to mount a research blitz, where the signals from the seafloor instruments could be correlated with observations of the whale's behavior and even some tagging, he said. Similar studies of blue whales revealed that most of the animals were silent, with just a small number of voluble males making all the racket. Weirathmuller is expanding the UW studies by tapping into new seismic networks. As part of a project called the Cascadia Initiative, scientists recently deployed 70 seismometers off the northwest coast, where they've been gathering earthquake data for more than a year. An underwater observatory called Neptune Canada includes seismometers, and a similar array of instruments will be installed soon off the Washington coast. The additional sensors will allow Weirathmuller to follow the whales over a larger area and identify where they congregate and feed. If we want to prevent things like ship strikes and entanglements, she said, the most important thing is to know where the whales are.
So in this part of the lesson, they're talking about the fact that not all of them can sing, right?
Right. The seismometers only detect the loudmouths. So it's kind of like these machines only hear the loudest whales that are out there. And that is one of the technique's shortcomings. We talked about different ways that these whales can be studied. And this technique using these seismometers does have some disadvantages.
That's one thing. As we study these different creatures, we find that the animals kind of have like their own society. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might have some people that are there to protect them, for instance, you know. And like when we studied about the meerkats in Africa, well, there are certain ones that are like the babysitters. Some go out and work, and others sit there and protect the little ones. And they holler if somebody comes. And mm-hmm. the bees have certain ones that do certain things. So mm-hmm. in these communities of insects and animals, they have their own system of who's in control and their own police force and so forth, you know, in the way like we think about it today. But I think they might have different jobs. So maybe some of the job, they're just born to do that. That's kind of interesting to think about that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. Everyone has a reason for why they're there, a reason for doing something.
So. A certain job. But some of them sing and some don't. And so they said that some of the research, they said a research blitz means that they've done more than ever before, right? Mm-hmm. Speeded it up, right?
Right. With a blitz, you do as kind of as much as you can. It's very aggressive. I usually think about football when I hear blitz.
Oh, really?
You know, sending all your players forward to try to get that ball from the other team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I always think of like a marketing blitz where a company maybe sends out tons of advertising for a product so that everyone sees it everywhere they go.
It's a sudden surge.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely a sudden surge. Yeah.
Well, it goes on in the second paragraph here to say that similar studies of the blue whales, now the biggest ones now, it said that most of those animals are kind of silent. But, of course, we really don't know because they stay way down in the ocean, right?
But I don't think they really study the blue whale calls because they're much quieter. I always think gentle giants, they don't make much noise.
No, that's true, but it says that the number of those that can make noise, that voluble males, mm-hmm. makes all, some of them make all the racket. So they called them the loudmouths.
Right.
But that's just our way of explaining it. They probably are the ones, you know, they have a special role there. Well, we come back to this lady that we found out before. Was her name Michelle?
Mm-hmm. Wyrath Mueller.
Well, yeah, what a name, right? Mm-hmm. Well, she's expanding the University of Washington studies by tapping into new seismic networks. Mm-hmm. So they're still using this way of studying earthquakes and the Earth's crust. They're using that method to study these deep-sea animals.
Mm-hmm. And tapping into, we can use that phrase when we're getting a little bit of information from another source. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about a few more kinds of ways that they can find information to study the calls of these fin whales.
Right. And this one project that they call the Cascadia Initiative. Now, what is an initiative, actually?
Kind of a project that has a very specific goal. Usually they want to accomplish something. I don't know much about the Cascadia Initiative itself, though, but it says scientists recently deployed from this Cascadia Initiative. They deployed 70 seismometers off of the northwest coast.
Remember that we read about them the day before, that there's the Olympia base. Olympia is the capital of Washington State, okay? And the Cascadia Research Collective, which is more like an organization, you could say incorporated or something, Cascadia, because of Cascade Mountains, so it all has to do with the area, kind of local sounding. Mm-hmm. The Cascadia Research Company or something, they have this project, which they called Cascadia Project, and they sent out or deployed, they used 70 of these on the northwest coast. So that's quite a few for them to gather more data about the earthquakes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what that group was doing was looking for earthquake data, but Wyrath Mueller, she was working with them to try to find the noise of the whales, so they kind of collaborated.
Now, that's in Washington State, of course, but even in Canada, which is just right north of there, that's why we talked about Vancouver, which is in Canada, and Vancouver Bay, that area, are they doing anything?
Well, they have an underwater observatory, kind of a facility where you can watch something happen, and it's called Neptune Canada.
Hey, that's a good name. Why have they used the word Neptune, do you think?
Well, it looks like the letters might stand for something, but Neptune, I think, is also connected to the sea.
King Neptune?
Mm-hmm.
Is that he was a
Greek, maybe the god of the sea?
Yes,
Greek mythology.
Thank you. Yes, Greek mythology. He was the god of the sea. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Let me see pictures of, you know, supposedly of this Greek mythology.
Oh, and he's got the big drawing. Trident and everything, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I always think of
that's Neptune,
mermaid.
Right? So they call it Neptune. So that's a good name, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
It's very fitting. A cute little play on words.
That's kind of cute, right?
Mm-hmm.
They include, you know, what their seismometers say, too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of other instruments that are going to be installed soon. So there's going to be even more of a blitz, it seems
mm-hmm.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that they are.
They're hitting it hard, aren't they?
They are. They're trying to put everything down so that maybe once the animals start moving again, they can track them even farther north
right.
and south.
When they get all of these instruments in place, they're additional sensors. What does a sensor actually do?
Well, there are many different kinds of sensors, but a sensor usually picks up on some kind of information. Sometimes it's movement, sometimes it's sound, like these that we're talking about a lot in this lesson. They are going to pick up on the sounds of maybe plates moving in the earth or also creatures like the fin whales.
Yeah.
So they can follow these whales in over a larger area mm-hmm. from Washington up into Canada and all the, and maybe even up to Alaska, who knows? And they can identify where they get together to congregate. I think of a congregation. It's like mm-hmm. like in a church, there's
right.
a congregation.
That's what I think of, too.
But when you congregate, you get together.
Mm-hmm.
And where they congregate and where they feed. So that will be interesting to find where they feed, mm-hmm. when they get together, what they do.
Yeah, I think that that is that's just as important as finding their migratory pattern, is finding where they rest and how long they stay in a place maybe and where they feed, what kinds of food that they stop for, I guess. And mm-hmm. so those are
One of the reasons is that they want to keep the few whales that we have left because a lot of them are getting killed. So what does this actually do if they get this information?
Well, yeah, it says if we want to prevent things like ship strikes and entanglements, the most important thing is to know where the whales are. Now, this lesson hasn't talked a lot about keeping these whales safe. We've talked some about that, but we do learn here at the end that they do have this purpose in mind also.
Mm-hmm. Right. It says there's a lot of fatal encounters, which means it really kills them. Would you like mm-hmm. to read that little thing we have on the page here?
Sure. Let's read that on page 38. A recent study found that fin and blue whales are more likely to be struck by ships than any other whale species on the West Coast, Calambacatus pointed out. Puget Sound residents got a gory demonstration last month when part of a fin whale carcass washed up on a beach near Burien. Scientists said the animal was killed by a ship and dragged into the sound.
Isn't that terrible? Burien is one of the suburbs in the south of Seattle. It's right out by the water, by the ocean, and it's where a lot of wealthy people live. It's a very nice area there.
Mm.
But they were really shocked to see this whale wash up on the beach there.
Sure they would.
Well, yeah,
be.
I mean, I think it would just be so, well, first of all, odd to see a water creature out of the water, but then also just heartbreaking to see how it was killed that way. Even though that was an accident, it'd still be awful to see. So.
There's a lot of shipping from Seattle and Tacoma that comes out mm-hmm. to Asia and all mm-hmm. of the world. More and more containers and ports mm-hmm. getting to be. So the more ships that come in, then the more they see animals, whether they're, you know, any kind of sea animals apt to get killed in the ocean that way.
Yeah, that's why they have to know where the animals are so that maybe they can try to avoid them or avoid the areas where they're clustered and they spend a lot of time.
So they want to prevent the ship from striking them.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the difference in striking them and an entanglement?
Well, I guess in some cases, maybe the tail of the whale could get inside the ship somehow. That would be kind of entangled or tangled
them.
Up in there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time imagining exactly how that happens, but I can see that it would mm-hmm. be possible.
Well, maybe with a fishing boat if they drop nets over the side.
That's true, too.
Not the whole whale would get tangled in the net,
yeah,
but enough that it could stop the whale.
That's true.
Yeah, so that might be another way mm-hmm. that they get entangled.
So it's good that they are trying to find this out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they shouldn't purposely go ahead and, you know, fish for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that now they're finally realizing that it's important for us to take care of the few things that we have left, because
right.
we've been killing off too many animals and sea things and thinking, oh, well, they'll always be there. But they won't be if we keep killing them, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. And once they're gone, then the balance will be thrown off. So everything that these whales eat will be overpopulating the ocean.
So as we studied this lesson for 3 days, what do you think the main point for us to remember and emphasize is, Nathaniel?
Well, I think in this lesson, we learn a lot about these fin whales, but there's so much more that we don't know about them. I think that one main point is that the ocean really has a lot of things that we still need to learn about, we still don't really understand.
One of the things that I liked most was the collaboration. They're using seismic instruments to study creatures. And I found that really fascinating that it brought together different groups that maybe wouldn't have interacted in the first place. I mean, marine biologists and seismologists, maybe. I think that's cool how they get to work together on a pretty interesting project.
And I think the more we study and investigate these things, the more we realize that we can protect them.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us our responsibility to take care of them
mm-hmm.
and to be cautious when we want to make money by doing so many things that we don't forget about saving and keeping our environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good lesson on environment, and we're glad you could be with us, and thanks for coming, Katie and Nathaniel. And we'll have some more good, interesting lessons in advance. So tell your friends about it. Give us your response and tell us the kind of lessons you like. And you can send us your messages through our emails and also through our Facebook, right?
Yep. Those are great ways to get in touch with us and stay in touch with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And yes, write us. We love to read your emails.
And do your part to protect the environment. Goodbye, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.